I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here, and you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station. It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's see, who was it on that play? It was Rhett Bird. Rhett Bird was the hawk in the right place at the right time. I guess that's true what they say. A bird in the hand is worth a ball on the carpet. So Bird gets the on the fumble recovery.
Welcome in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Lloyd, fire up that wheel. Let's go.
It's a quick show.
Went by fast.
Fridays always go by fast. This one went a little quick. Lloyd, are you serious? Do you want to do sports roulette now? Is there a reason we're doing it now?
Well, we didn't do it yesterday. We tried, I know, but we didn't.
We had some good headlines yesterday.
And we're never going to get to.
No.
Are we okay to get to them today?
No, we're jam-packed today. No, we had to completely reload. There's literally 22 stories on
so many good headlines yesterday. You got to keep some of those in there.
I know. The Kyle Whittingham one was really
funny.
Yes. Okay, put that one back on. Do you still have your label maker? Make a label for that one. Put it back on. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Doing very well.
What's new?
What's happening?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening?
That made the transition over here, didn't it?
It did, but I have to pull it over for my hard drive right now.
I saw our guy Sam over at BYU Media Days. Talk about a dude that's just tailor-made for TV.
Oh, yeah.
Just tailor-made for it.
Way too good-looking for radio.
They're funny, man. I know we've got a starter. I can't even tell you how bored I was yesterday. It's just boring.
You hear a promo?
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. Like,
I wrote that out of anger last night.
Okay, so did the big voice guy just cut that this morning? Or you sent it over last night?
I sent it over last night, yeah, and he had it this morning.
Do you have it, Lloyd? Can you play it? I want to hear it. I heard it once on my way in, and I was dying laughing.
I was last night. I was after the draft, and I was talking because
you were a little surly.
Because we had a conversation with so Jake Scott is down at JCW's, and I'm talking to Nate Dowdle, our boss,
yeah,
and Jake, and we're like, okay, all right, we're through the first round, but there's definitely something that's going to happen
in the second round.
And so I'm like. And Jake's like, you sure you want us to stay on? I'm like, and then Nate's like, you know what? Send him home. And then if they do something in the second round, then we'll do a podcast. And you and Lloyd and yes, I were ready to tape out a podcast in case they bought into the second round.
Yep.
And so I'm like, so I thought as soon as I send these guys home, something's going to happen. And so, but we did. We ended it at 9 o'clock. Those guys were great at JCW's. I mean, I know the Jazz didn't have anything, but they sounded awesome. DJ stopped by. It was great. Great radio. And, but anyway, so we send everybody home, and I'm like, all right, They're going to buy back in. They're going to buy back in, and here we go, and nothing. So that ends. Nothing happens. I'm in a bad mood because I was really, really certain something was going to happen in some way, shape, or form, and nothing did. So I'm like, I was sitting down. I was watching an episode of Barry with the wife last night, which, by the way, season 3 gets dark, like super dark.
Is this a new show? I've never even heard of Barry.
I think you might actually like this show.
Really?
Yeah.
Remind me. I haven't seen it because I'm...
Oh, you haven't? Oh, no, I thought you have seen it.
But I've heard about it. He's an assassin, right?
Yeah, he's an assassin trying to get work in Hollywood as an actor while living a double life.
It's essentially one of the cops that plays on Superbad.
Oh, okay. Hooper?
It's not a...
Bill Hader?
Yeah, Bill Hader, yes.
He was the Stefan on Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
He's, by the way, in this show, he's great. Does really great. It does a really good job. Anyway, so I'm watching that, and I'm in a bad mood. I'm like, I'm going to write a promo. So I sat down and fired up a promo, put a little, hey, let's get this thing produced ASAP. And, well, this is what we got.
The NBA draft was filled with excitement and intrigue for the Utah Jazz.
Boring.
Okay, well, maybe the draft was a dud. But hey, the offseason is just getting started.
Everybody better brace themselves
for all the latest insight and analysis on the Utah Jazz. Keep it locked on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
So I was thinking, all right. I tried to stay positive there at the end. But, yeah, I was a little fired up. I even had to go on YouTube to find the old...
It was perfect. Hey,
Homer Simpson cut.
What a dud, but there could be something happening.
Something could be happening.
Keep it here.
So we'll get into the starter. We'll start with draft talk, and we'll get going with it here in just a second. But I got to tell you this. It's very strange feeling for me right now because when I'm on my own, I'm a procrastinator. You know, Scott, I was just telling you a story. There is a half a bowl of guacamole that's sitting partially on my fridge right now.
It's one of my favorite stories you've ever told.
And partly on the floor. My dog's probably eaten it by now because...
That's what you're planning on.
I'm a home aloner right now. And so, you know, I just left it. It fell and I left it. I'm the type of guy, I'll let things compound. I'll let the dishes, I'll let the laundry pile up. I'll let the grass go long. And I feel like right now, Scotty, I feel like the Jazz have a sink full of dishes, a laundry basket full of laundry, grass that looks like a jungle, trees that need pruned, a garden that needs watered and weeded. Like, I feel like the Jazz are just letting it all compound. Like, there's only so much time and so many opportunities to make the moves needed to restructure the roster that we're all expecting to be restructured. And when nothing happened last night, it was like, oh, they looked at the laundry basket and they're like, nope, not doing it tonight. I'm not. I'll try to get to that next week. But I'm not doing it. They see the dishes and they're like, oh, geez, I know what's at the bottom of those dishes. I don't want to face that right now. We'll get this done. These guys have to know this roster is not going to be back. It's and look, that's not my sources. That's not my insight. That's coming from guys that I trust.
Yeah.
That report on this stuff. And I'm looking at it like, okay, so is this all just going to happen in one big failed swoop? Or what? How are we going to get through this?
There were, and I know there's a lot of people out there that were thinking, okay, well, look, there's still a long offseason. You can still make trades. And that's 100% true. Look, the trade deadline isn't until February. Like, you can make all kinds of trades. That's still very much on the table. The problem is, last night during the draft, you can couple picks. Not that the Jazz have picks to give away, but you can send a player in exchange for picks.
Yes.
Like, that was another part of the equation that I guess technically could still exist for future drafts, but it was made a little easier last night. And so that element being taken away makes it a little bit more problematic to make trades in the future.
Yeah.
I still think there are going to be some. I know you're probably like, well, you said there was going to be stuff last night. I felt like there was going to be. I talked to enough people that, but at the end of the day, what did we say all day yesterday? Like, you still need two to tango.
Yeah.
You can go on like, we're going to make trades. We're going to do this and this and this. And I believe that the Jazz went into last night fully anticipating as a front office that they were going to do some things last night. But what they wanted in exchange and what they wanted to receive and what other teams wanted to get, if it doesn't match up, you're not going to get anything done. Yeah. And that was the case last night.
Do you guys think that a lot of that reason was because of the turmoil between Rudy and Donovan?
No.
Made it easy, like harder for people, like, you know what?
No, I
you
don't.
You got a toxic situation there. I mean, you obviously need to get rid of it.
We're going
to
wait you out.
We're going to wait you out.
I don't think so, Lloyd, because I unless they have more inside knowledge than we do, I don't think it was like the public toxicity that some of these situations are. I don't think that Donovan and Gordon ever put it on display. Neither one of them ever tweeted and said something almost discreet, it's just taking a backhanded stab. We didn't ever see it. It never really got public. I actually, if I'm a GM and I'm looking at that feud, in my mind I'm thinking, well, I actually think if they hate each other, they handled it pretty well, right?
Yeah.
If they truly just are disgusted with each other, can't play with each other, and can't be around, they hit it. They handled it well. They didn't fight on radio or on social media or on TV or in a game on a court. Now, behind the scenes, that might be different. But I don't know, Lloyd. I don't think so. I don't think so. You know what? In fact, we should probably just jump into the starter because, Scotty, I wanted to throw a couple of thoughts at you about Rudy Gobert.
Let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Starting a lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
Scotty, I'm starting to wonder how tradable and how movable Rudy Gobert's ability, contract, future, and situation is. I'm starting to wonder how tradable, how movable he really is. And I'm gonna give you my reasoning behind this. Let's say Rudy is on my basketball team, and I see everything, and I know in detail, in depth, everything he's cleaned up and everything that he's done because the perimeter defense was what it was, and the scheme that I installed was what it was. In order to best use his attributes.
Yeah.
I know the inner workings of his importance. I've got his three defensive players of the year. I've got everything in my bag. I know who this guy is. So when I get a call and somebody's looking at, like, it's just a defensive player, and they call and they're like, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's see. So we'll take Capella. We'll take your 16th. We'll take Hunter. We'll take Collins. And on the other line, they're like, who do you think you have over there? Who do you think that guy is? He's a defensive player. He's a very good defensive. He's a defensive player. But on the inside, you're like, no, I know who I have. And the last thing I can do is hand this guy over for peanuts. And as things went by last night, I kind of fell further into the line of thinking of the Jazz organization holds Rudy Gobert's ability and future in high regard. And I wonder how many other teams in the NBA truly understand the depth of what scheme was built around Rudy, what his future is, and what his value is, and if that's going to inhibit the Jazz ability to find the right pieces for him.
Yeah, there's a couple things in play here, and I think you've hit on something there. And I've referenced it a few times, the John Hollinger piece in The Athletic, where teams, going back to the Clippers in the series last year, have started to figure out the key to Rudy. And I think there's two different things that we look at. There's, okay, wait a minute. Is this a key to beat Rudy individually, or is it a key to beat the Utah Jazz with Rudy Gobert? And I think it has more to do with the Jazz and how they were built than it is Rudy Gobert specifically. Because you can look at Rudy Gobert, and I could take him, and I firmly believe this. Rudy Gobert, for some reason, is a bit of a punching bag around the NBA. You take him to Atlanta, You take him to Dallas. You take him to even Chicago. You put him on some of these other teams, and the in a larger market with a better supporting cast around him, and the narrative on Rudy Gobert is going to change like this, like that, overnight. Like, Rudy Gobert will be thought of very differently. He'll be treated very differently, and his respect level will skyrocket. The Utah Jazz and Quinn Snyder built a scheme around funneling everything to Rudy. That means that, and they did so with perimeter defenders who weren't particularly good. You put him on that Dallas team with good perimeter defenders and with Luka Doncic throwing alley-oops to him like crazy, Rudy Gobert is going to be a huge storyline in the NBA. I don't want to say the Jazz have done him a disservice. I just want to say the way that it was built has done Rudy Gobert a bit of a disservice. So I think around the league, there's a lot of teams out there that realize, okay, yeah, he's got some limitations offensively, but in our system, he's going to be fantastic and he's going to flourish because we've got perimeter defenders. I do think there's a lot of teams out there that realize that.
Because I feel like that they aren't putting that into true perspective.
I think the demand for Rudy Gobert will continue. This is me speculating. All right, this isn't sources or anything like this. I would be shocked if Rudy Gobert's on the Utah Jazz roster to start the season. Because I do think there are teams very interested. I do think at some point there's going to be a trade. Again, that's just me. I'm not.
So when the trade happens, do you think that Jazz fans and Jazz front office, Jazz fans, whatever happens with them, happens with them. Do you think Jazz front office will look at that trade and say, all right, good deal. Good deal.
They will look at it in terms of a good deal in regards to building a team around Donovan Mitchell, about eliminating at bare minimum about $130 million that they're going to have to spend over the next 3 years, possibly $180 million if he decides to opt into a final year of his contract, and it gives him luxury flexibility to be able to build this team for the future. In terms of you being better next year, no, it's not going to be a good deal. Look, the problem is everybody was so fired up with a trade last night, they anticipated there was going to be a trade. You realize you trade Rudy Gobert, you're going backwards next year.
Oh, yeah.
You need to understand that.
Unless you reorganize the backcourt.
Yeah, which is probably the Jazz don't really have the flexibility to do that.
There is not another man in the NBA that can do what this staff asked Rudy Gobert to do in a regular season to get you to that 50-win mark and keep you in the top four seed conversation. Nobody else can do it.
The way this team is constantly built, you take Rudy Gobert, this team is going to be a bottom third defensive team in the NBA next year. Bare minimum. Maybe bottom five. Now, you do have financial flexibilities. You'll probably pick up some assets along the way. There's going to be some things
a whole new scheme that's going to be built with Quinn Snyder's exit.
Exactly. But make note, you're taking a Hall of Fame defensive player and you're removing him. You'll get some pieces back, but you'll not get dollar for dollar.
That's why. And I'm 60% in on that thing. Like, I'm more leaning towards Rudy not being on the court for the Utah Jazz than I am him being on the court for the Utah Jazz. But as I see each landmark pass,
yes,
I keep thinking to myself, they asked, they're inquiring, they're doing their work, and they're not getting the return on their expectation of what Rudy is. And every time something passes, my thought is, Donovan and Rudy might be playing again together. Like, every time that something passes, I get more and more, I have to lean more and more towards, get ready for a reboot. Now, I'm not saying reboot with Conley and Royce. I'm saying a reboot with Mitchell and Rudy Gobert.
Now, this time yesterday, I was 90% Rudy Gobert would not be on the roster next year. Right now, I'm about 65%.
Okay. So we're not far off.
Yeah, we're not far off. I still am at the point where I'd be surprised. But also, I think if you're in the Jazz front office, you have to look at things and be like, okay, we had some offers out there. We didn't like it. We'll probably continue to get some offers, but not enough for us to pull the trigger. If we don't get those offers that we like, we bring Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell back, we're still going to win 50 games next year, 47 to 51. You're going to be in that range, which is not a bad place to be. Now, you'll probably get bounced in the first, maybe the second round of the playoffs. You won't sniff an NBA championship, But you'll still put butts in the seat. You'll still have entertaining regular season basketball, and you'll still make a whole lot of money.
My perspective's changing a lot on that, quite a bit. With the situation that you got going on in the coaching staff, or with the coaching staff, and me believing, like I'm 60% that Rudy Gobert will be or won't be back with the Jazz, but I'm 90% that Conley won't be back, probably 80% that O'Neal won't be back, and I feel like we're going to see some personnel changes. There's a part of me that wonders, and again, I'm sure it's a wonderment that will be answered somewhere in the second round of the NBA playoffs, but there's a wonder in the back of my mind of new voice, one or two new exterior additions, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and what do we possibly have?
So you think it could be better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I
thought when you were going down this line, it was saying you need to prepare. Even with Donovan and Rudy, it could be much worse.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I think with a new coach, with possibly one or two moves, bringing Donovan and Rudy back and just a different perspective and idea, I'm hopeful. At least I'm hopeful. That would be so much more hopeful to me thinking, all right, the Jazz still have two All-Stars. And, you know, let's say they bring in Frank Vogel, who just won an NBA championship, three seasons ago?
Yeah.
So Frank Vogel, was that three seasons ago?
It was the bubble. So it had been the summer of 20, two years ago.
Yeah. 2 years ago. So you had a championship coach who, I've got a lot of respect for Vogel. I'd rather Vogel than Stotts. That's just me. You get two or three pieces, and we can talk about these additions. I don't think this youth is really going to help. But I am at least interested in one or two of the signings that the Jazz have made.
Summer League got more interesting. I'll say that.
It did. I think it's going to be exciting, especially with two of the names.
Yeah.
And so I still have this hope, like it's not over. And if they move Rudy and they bring just a bunch of odds and ends to put on the court with Donovan Mitchell, and they hire a coach that I'm not real familiar with, it's going to be such a struggle for me.
Yeah.
And it'll be a struggle for everybody. My hope is they make moves in an effort to win now with Donovan Mitchell. And I've got to imagine that's what's extremely important right now is, you know, you look at Donovan Mitchell and you look at where he's at in his career. You don't want Donovan to be Damian.
No.
You're just going to keep putting him on the hook and he's going to leave.
Well, and
he's not going to Damian Lillard it here.
No.
He's not going to be the good soldier.
Donovan's got a special, Damian's got a special kind of loyalty where he's like, this is the club that took a chance on me. I'm going to be loyal to the city, loyal to the community. I don't think Donovan's got quite that in his DNA.
Nope.
That's not a knock on Donovan. That's just a prop on Damian. He's just built differently than everybody else. And in fact, you got everybody else out there like you and me. Like, Damian, dude, request a trade. Get out of there.
Go.
You need to go. And we don't say that about anybody. All right, Dr. Chris Chapman, kind enough to join us. You're listening to Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And, Doctor, we've had you in here from the Lyft Clinic, and we really love what you guys do and what you've been able to do to help so many people out there. There's a lot of chronic pain that people are dealing with, and a lot of times it can just be just a misalignment that can be corrected, and it can really change lives.
That's right. Good morning. Thanks for having us on, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, it's good to chat with you again.
Yes. So, yeah, that, you know, misalignments in certain spots can be more impactful than misalignments in other spots. So the area we're talking about and that we focus in on is, as you know, the craniocervical junction. And that's an area that regulates all of the headache, neck pain, migraine sort of symptomatology. But it also is responsible for regulating our breathing and our sleep patterns. And so that's why it's a high impact zone. And we look at that spot and get that spot working functionally without incisive surgery. So that's the good news of what we're doing here.
Well, a lot of people, I mean, it starts with their sleep, too. And people are dealing with sleep apnea and they're exhausted. They're getting headaches all the time. And people think that there needs to be these grand, expensive, just over-the-top treatments for this, when it can be a pretty simple procedure to get you taken care of.
It can. It really can. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up sleep, because all of the research and all of the studies are really pointing to the quality of our sleep. And when you get, I'm pushing 60 here, and so when you get from 40 to 60 years old, we drop down to almost zero with our sort of neuroprotective, you know, and when I say neuroprotective, I'm talking about protecting our brains from things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And so there's a strong relationship between sleep quality and these kind of neurodegenerative diseases that so many of our population is like going down this path. And some of these things are really, we're finding, are preventative, but you have to know about it. And then you have to have a really good intervention that doesn't cause, you know, other harm. And that's what we're offering, is that sort of assessment.
Well, really appreciate the free complimentary assessment that includes your images. You go to theliftclinic.com to get more information, or better yet, just make a phone call, 801-877-1199. That's 801-877-1199. Make that phone call right now, and let's get you squared away. Theliftclinic.com is where you can find out more information, but let's get you taken care of with that free complimentary assessment, 801-877-1199, right here on the 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The NBA draft was filled with excitement and intrigue for the Utah Jazz.
Boring.
Okay, well, maybe the draft was a dud. But hey, the offseason is just getting started.
Everybody better brace themselves
for all the latest insight and analysis on the Utah Jazz. Keep it locked on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was a summer of 69.
Now, this is good old school Bryan Adams here. Before All for One, One for All. Have you ever loved a woman?
It's a Friday. I'm not going to do it. I'm not getting into this conversation with you. It's a Friday. The weekend's here, Scotty. The smile on my face is going to stay.
By the way, it's a follow back Friday.
It is a follow back Friday.
Follow back Friday.
I want to give out the teriyaki chicken recipe. Did you see the reel I sent out yesterday on my Instagram?
No.
Oh.
So you didn't want to share is what you're telling me, okay. Because there was so
wait a minute, you made teriyaki chicken?
Yeah, I'm going to answer Lloyd's question here. And Lloyd, you can see the tray. The tray is beautiful and it's incredible. It's that teriyaki chicken recipe with the pepper jack and the brown sugar glazed pineapple. It's incredible. It's my favorite dish. But Lloyd, I'm going to answer your issue. You look at the tray and you think of who I've got in my family. You know that every piece of chicken on that trade was literally gone, and I got way less than I wanted. Like it.
Hey, I totally understand that, but you also have to realize we hide things. So our jackals.
I did that.
Won't.
No. That's true.
I know.
I put it in the CRISPR drawer because I know the kids won't get into it.
I know.
And I bring stuff into you.
But
and what did I bring in yesterday to you?
The amazing.
You got to see the pictures. They're so phenomenal looking.
Did you make this or did Mama make this?
I made it. No, this is my dish.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
I'm just
100%. Like
I feel like you did us dirty. That's all.
And I messaged him early in the process and said, "Hey, are you going to bring some of that?" He's like, "What, the banana? No, I don't want your rotten banana."
That banana wasn't rotten. So,
wow, those are big chunks of pineapple on there.
Oh gosh, they're so good. Oh my gosh,
some pepper jack cheese.
Those are.
Did you do a reel on this, or is this just only the video? Just this little reel. Video.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Just that.
So you got chicken, teriyaki chicken, check.
Yeah.
Spicy jack cheese.
Is that a thigh or a breast?
That is breast, and it's filleted and pounded.
Okay.
So, you know, I cut the breast in half,
Fillet
it out, and then I pound it so that it's a little thinner cut. Yeah, and it's a more uniform cook.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Because then you can cook it and you can keep everything moist in it. And then I soak that, or I lay those pieces up, those pineapple rounds. I lay those in brown sugar.
Is that from a whole pineapple that you've sliced?
Yes.
Okay.
So what I do is I just carve down the pineapple. I slice it in, you know, you can see those. I'd say maybe quarter inch thick slices.
So that's not dull.
No.
That's no.
You
picked out a pineapple. You took the whole thing to it.
Yep. And then I've got this little core thing. So I slice it and then I just core it. And then I let it sit and soak in brown sugar.
Yeah.
And I smoke the chicken and the pineapple at the same time.
All right.
So I let the pineapple really just smoke and take in all the brown sugar and take in all the smoke. And it's incredible. Then I put a nice thick slice of pepper jack.
That's a pretty good chunk of cheese you put on there.
Yes. So you've got the teriyaki chicken, the pepper jack, and then you've got the slice of brown sugar soaked pineapple. And then my wife made homemade bread. So we do a thin slice of the homemade bread. You do a mayo on one side, and you do your favorite barbecue sauce on the other, and you slap that piece of chicken with the pineapple, the pepper jack.
You toast the bread at all?
No, just fresh, homemade, warm white bread.
You're not worried about that thing getting too soggy?
It gets a little bit soggy, but...
Hence why I toast dang near every piece of bread. Yeah. Whether it's a burger or a sandwich, I love it toasted because I don't like it to have it soggy.
It was absolutely... It's my favorite recipe. That is my absolute number one favorite recipe.
Really?
And I know that you're not the pineapple guy.
I'm not.
But I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring you a Noit because I really want you to try this.
Okay, so...
Or try it.
You know what, though?
This weekend.
I do see that there's two there without pineapple, so you can, you know, bring that one in for sure.
Yeah,
I do have your back here because I know how when you have hungry kids, they can get away from you. So you're going to down at least two of those.
Yep.
Rock's going to down at least two of those.
Yep.
And then you got, you know, the girls, that's going to be four right there.
Yep. Mom and dad.
And then mom and dad. Yeah, you're done.
Yep. Plate's gone.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I would honestly, I would appreciate one, but I can totally see how none of that made its way back.
I feel sad that it didn't. Because when Lloyd reached out, I didn't want to.
Why you made the joke about the banana? Because you're like, oh man, I don't really want to answer this. Like,
I couldn't sneak one from. I wasn't. You know, I.
Well, you talk to Fawn. You say, hey, can you just do half? Just half.
Can you? You and Dad? Can you split one?
Oh man! After everything they've done for me,
I'm gonna need you to split.
I did. My neighbors, who are very good friends, I know they liked them too, and they were interested if there was any left
because
I sent out the reel, and you'll see one of the responses on the reel was,
"Hey,
what happened to us being friends?
We're here.
Oh yeah, there's pineapple and chicken's gone.
Remember when I let you borrow my tiller?
Yes. Hey, and it's still in your garage.
And everything else. Do you still have that caulk gun? No, I haven't seen it.
The other night, I was cleaning out my office a little bit, and I found this tool that I had borrowed from my neighbor, and I'd forgotten to give it back.
Oh, how long you had it?
Well, it's been a good, like, year and a half.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, Do I? Because now it's so obvious he's probably either forgotten about it. Because we're still, I'd like to think we're still pretty good friends.
Yeah.
Like really good friends. And so I'm like trying to think, like, do I just like walk into his garage sometime and just kind of like put it on a shelf? Because if I'd like, hey, man, and then it's going to remind him that I've had it for a year and a half.
Okay. Can I give you a
tip? Yeah.
I give you a tip?
Absolutely.
Because I'm bookended by two of the best neighbors in this entire world. Really. Just incredible. Yeah. The Bradshaws and the Stoddards. Incredible people. And my neighbor to the west has every tool and gadget, everything you could ever imagine. He's got this entire shop, this warehouse behind his house. It's just jam-packed with everything. And he's always told me, if you need anything, let me know. Well, I put in those new trees a few years back, I guess five now, and he had...
Yeah. I mean, as long as you've been in the house, yeah.
So he's got this massive post driver.
Oh, yeah.
And so I borrowed this post driver so I could drive in some stakes so I could do some tree stabilizers. And I realized 3 years later that it was still in my garage. And I sent him a quick text and I said, hey, I'm still using this thing. Is there a time I can get it back to you? Just tell them. I knew that I had some of this left. I'm sorry. I've kept it here. Can I just finish up what I'm trying to do? Even if it's 3 or 4 or 5 years later,
I've seen you out there every day for the last 3 years.
Just like, can I finish up what I'm trying to do and I'll get it right back to you? That's what I did. And it worked. But then he needed the postal driver. And I, just so he didn't think that I was lying, I said, hey, if I could get it back from you after you're done with it.
You are one of a kind.
Why?
You're just one of a kind, dude. You just are.
So he brought it back after you
started. Like, I'm sorry. I just needed it for a little bit. I'll get it back to you. I promise.
He is the best, man. Gosh, I love my neighbors. Good people.
I keep thinking, and I saw it, I'm like, I don't know. Because I go over to his house all the time. We're really good friends. And I thought, I'll just, like, put it in my backpack. I'm like, I just got home from work. How you doing? And then just kind of, like, sneak it on the top of the shelf.
You could do that, too. You do that, too. I just think it could be more awkward if he finds, he's like, how did Scott get this on my back?
Just be honest.
I'm so bummed about this draft. When the biggest storyline is that Orlando took Paolo Banchero. By the way, I thought it was Banchero, but they kept saying Banchero last night.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm going to go with that.
And Orlando goes with Paolo Banchero instead of Jabari Smith. When that's the biggest storyline.
And that made no sense, too. Why the smoke screen there?
So help me understand. Because when we talked with, was it David yesterday?
It was Kurt Heelan.
Oh, it was Kurt that was mentioning the Vegas odds?
That's I should have said, because at the time I'm thinking, Vegas knows more than... Like, dude, Vegas lines, those dudes know. I don't know how they get their information. They're probably paying a lot of money for it, but they have information. They know what's going on. And he's like, and Kurt was like, well, the Vegas line says this, but I don't know what's going on. And it should have been like, that's all you need to know. When Vegas gets dialed in on something like this, they know what they're doing. And so Vegas caught wind of it, obviously.
Hmm. Well, that was about the biggest thing. I know that there was a New York trade that I just don't care about. I know Oklahoma City ended up with Chet Holmgren. They'll probably just use and abuse him, and he'll never become anything great. I always hate Sacramento being involved with anything. I'm sick of seeing Sacramento have any picks or any ability to move or trade picks. And you saw Sacramento made a move that didn't make sense at number four. It just didn't make sense. They went with Keegan Murray. And everybody thought that it was going to be Jaden Ivey. And I've got to imagine that when Jaden Ivey falls down to fifth, I got to imagine people were just freaking out.
Yeah.
Well, because Detroit ended up with him, right?
Yeah.
So, again, Sacramento just doing things that don't make sense every time they're part of the draft. And I'm so tired of them getting the benefit of this stuff and then screwing it up.
That's screwing it up.
They screw everything up.
Yeah.
I wish we could cancel an organization, because I'd cancel Sacramento.
You want a Rory McIlroy?
Yes.
Sacramento?
When are we going to go to 29 and get rid of this scar?
Hey, when does the PGA Tour cut Rory McIlroy?
What?
What do you mean?
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean, Rory is dead weight. Get rid of him. No, that was a long time ago. It was before anybody knew who Rory was.
Last September.
Or it might have been
last year.
Or this April.
But are you guys not bugged by Sacramento?
Yeah, I'm bugged by Sacramento. I think Ben Anderson hit
everything
it.
Everything they touch.
Ben Anderson said there, and it was a great line, but he called them the Orlando of the West.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Orlando botched, you know, the first pick. Like, you know, if you're trying to trade down, like, I don't know what Orlando was doing by telling everybody they were going to take Jabari Smith and then not taking him.
Yeah, are you trying to trick people like, don't take him before us? And people are like, you have the number one pick.
Yeah, like,
don't take us. We are of no interest in him at all. It was weird.
It made no sense. It really made no sense.
Have you been able to make any sense of it?
No. And
has anybody even I haven't even seen anybody, like any of the professionals out there.
It
was a smokescreen, like they were trying to confuse people. But for what?
Why? You have the number one pick. You do smokescreens so that people in front of you don't take the guy that you want.
Yeah.
But when you're you get anybody you want.
Yeah. And they took the smokescreen so far in Orlando that they didn't even work him out. Did you know that?
Yeah.
At least that's what I read. And Orlando might have had a secret workout with this guy, but from what I read and what they were talking about during the draft yesterday, they said, yeah, they actually did not work out Paolo Banchero. What? So you're so worried about somebody knowing you're going to take him first overall that you tell everybody we're going to take Jabari Smith? You don't work out Paolo because you don't want to let anybody in on this? You're the number one pick.
Like, if you're trying to trade down, you say, okay, well, we don't know who we're going to take. We like a lot of these guys. You know, there's several guys that we like. If you're in on Paolo the whole time and you're hoping maybe that somebody will trade up and then you could slide down to two or three and still get the guy you want, then don't go all in on a guy. Like, that doesn't make anybody want to trade with you, because you're like, yeah, we like Jabari. We're taking Jabari. Nobody's calling up like, hey, can we get that number one pick from you? Like, everybody's like, no, they're taking Jabari. They know who they want at one. There's no reason to call him up and ask for him. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
So bizarre. One other observation. 4 Duke players taking the first round. Did I miss one? Was it 4?
No, it was 4. And how about that? The team that ends up losing the national championship game and gets beat by North Carolina twice has 4 number one picks on it.
That's insane.
You know what that is? That's coaching. You put that on Krzyzewski.
That's bad coaching?
That's bad coaching on his part.
Man. Seen it a million times.
I know.
4 Duke players. Utah Jazz have signed a couple of 3 or 4 players. Scotty and I will talk about that a little bit later.
Hands and Scotty, coming up next, what you may have missed straight ahead right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
Here's the problem is if BYU made it 3 years, then that's a big problem for the Big 12. The concern with the Big 12, great, they've added 4 teams.
Yeah.
But they basically eliminated their relevance in college football.
Texas and Oklahoma.
With Texas and Oklahoma. I would be more concerned with the Big 12 having an image problem of not having a name program. The worst thing in the world for the Big 12 is if BYU wins. I mean, I hate to say it. And BYU can win it. BYU can compete relatively quickly.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Today I don't feel like doing anything. I just want to lay in my bed. Don't feel like picking up my phone, so leave a message at the tone.
Hands and Scotty, 12:54, time for another edition of What You May Have Missed. Boring night last night, snooze fest for the Utah Jazz. Everybody just sitting there just waiting. All right, when's it coming? Here we go.
Never came. So now we look at a couple of signees that the Utah Jazz have brought in. They've reportedly signed Illinois center Kofi Cockburn, who's supposed to be all things big. I guess this man is gigantic. I don't know a lot about him.
Not the guy from, oh man, now I'm spacing the True Grit.
No. Oh, no, that's Rooster. Cogburn.
Oh, Cogburn. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were talking about Mr. LaBeef or if you're talking about Rooster.
LaBeef's always such a good name.
Though. Oh, man. The best. That movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. If you haven't seen it this weekend, and I'm gonna offer up the remake.
The original or the remake?
I'm going to go remake because I love the Coen brothers.
I'm with you on that. And
I love Coen brother dialogue.
And the original was great, too.
It was incredible.
But there's
something about Jeff Bridges with
the Coen brother dialogue. And that little girl kills it, too.
She's incredible. And, you know, how about them apples as LaBeef is pretty dang good.
Yeah. Doesn't have a lot of screen time, but he makes it count.
Brolin is in it.
Yep.
That's really good, man. I might go back and watch that one. But anyways, no, this is Kofi Cockburn, and he goes about 7'280", 7'290". So if they list you, let's say they list you 7'285", you're probably 6'11", 320. He's a big dude, but he averaged 20 points, 10 rebounds, a double-double during his junior season.
I saw Dick Vitale, your favorite guy, sent out a big tweet about him earlier today. Like, I'm glad somebody's giving him a chance. This guy can play.
He can't, because what he does in college is he gets a ball and he moves people that aren't 300 pounds and then he finishes. In the NBA, you try moving anybody and there's high-level physicality and there's guys that know how to stop you. The one I'm more excited about is Johnny Juzang. Much more excited about him. He is a wing out of UCLA, and he goes about 6'7". I think they've got a limit listed at 6'7".
Yeah, and a guy that, you know, for all you kids out there that say bet on yourself, maybe sometimes it's okay to take the safe pick. He would have been a first-round pick last year after that run that UCLA went on the NCAA tournament, and he decided to come back for another year. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, he's coming back. And he's like, yeah, I'm betting on myself. And that did not go the way he would have thought. Goes undrafted. The Jazz will bring him in. Dude can create his own shot. The athleticism isn't quite there. He can't really separate. It isn't as quick as you'd like him to be. But I do think that for an undrafted pick, that's hitting the lottery right there. Now, I don't know what he's going to do. He's probably going to be in the G League, and he's going to take a long time to get there, but I think that there's going to be some opportunities there for sure.
Averaged 16 points, about 50% from the field, went 35% from three in his time in college. So, you know, he can hit from three. He can hit the perimeter. He can score. As Scotty mentioned, he does have those certain limitations, but there's something beautiful about a 6'7" individual that's got a wingspan, that's got potentially defensive ability if he's got the want to or the drive. You know, what I like about Johnny Juzang right now is he's got a lot to prove. That's what I like about him. He's got a lot to prove. He's got a chip on his shoulder. So he's got the 6'7" wingspan. He's got the size. He's got scoring ability. He's shown well. Now he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he wants to prove people wrong. So maybe he proves people wrong with Utah Jazz. That's what I'm hoping anyways. And then I saw the tweet come from the Jazz of Jonathan Williams. I don't know a ton about that signing.
Yeah.
Jonathan Williams? Not a ton.
Yeah, you're on your own on that one.
I saw the Jazz tweeted it.
Yeah. I mean, these guys, look, there's a reason they didn't get drafted. Like,
this guy was 20 points a game, 5 rebounds.
Now, Cockburn and Juzang, those are going to be two guys that are going to be fun to watch. The rest, they're filling out a roster at this point.
Yeah.
So we'll all go to Summer League and we'll all watch them together and try to figure out what you got there. But the likelihood of any of these guys really making a difference on a Utah Jazz roster are pretty minimal. Like the Juzang thing, like I saw that and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? That would have been a pick that even if they would have bought in the second round and got, I've been like, all right, that's cool.
Nice name. Recognizable name.
Let's see what he can do. And so the Jazz were able to get him on the cheap for sure. But still, it's just the likelihood of these guys getting – I mean, you see undrafted guys pop up from time to time, but it's just such – it's like getting undrafted in the NFL. I mean, it is a fight. Your reps are limited. You have very little opportunities to try to find a way to make a roster. All right. 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Dr. Chris Chapman joining us, as well as James Woods, not the actor, by the way, kind enough to join us. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing good. Great.
Good. All right. So, Dr. Chapman, let's start with you. There's a lot of people out there dealing with pain, dealing with headaches, and they've tried everything. Sometimes there's other opportunities and other ways to look at things, and what you do at the Lift Clinic can provide an option for people that are dealing with these headaches, dealing with this chronic pain, to maybe take a look at their alignment, especially in that that neck area, to really see where they're at. Maybe you can help in that regard.
Yeah, we see a lot of folks that have been in motor vehicle accidents. You know, they've been rear-ended, even some light stuff where they have minimal damage to their car, but the bodies are inside. It's kind of like falling off a ladder and having no damage on the ladder, but you broke your neck, sort of thing. And so we really have to pay it right where the head sits on the neck, because Scotty, that's the most vulnerable area of the human spine, and it's the most dense and rich with blood vessels and sensory information there, like pain. So it's a really important spot to have evaluated. We do that.
It's amazing how much this chronic pain, you know, these headaches that are a result of this, or the backaches, it's amazing how much it affects your life negatively. It can affect your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your kids, or vice versa. It can be a huge problem. Give us, you know, maybe three or four of the different symptoms that people might be suffering, and this might be the cause, and you might be the solution.
Okay, so the first one, really, and the most, it's fairly common, is if you're having some a popping or weird movement of your mandible, of your jaw. Like, for instance, if you open and you can only open so wide, and you're finding that you've gone from a triple cheeseburger down to a double, down to a single, because you can't open your mouth wide enough. That's a big indicator that there's potentially something wrong with where the head sits on the neck. The other one is headaches at the base of the back of the skull. And these can be, you know, you think it might just be because you're in a bad posture for a long time, but if that head is not sitting properly on the top of the cervical spine, you can have these chronic neck, upper neck, lower head pain. And then I think a very common one that we all just kind of get used to, because we sometimes headaches are just part of our curriculum, it's part of our day, part of our week. But, you know, we're not supposed to have headaches. Like, the number of headaches per year that's normal is zero. And so, you know, I mean, the exceptions are if you bump your head, or if you maybe are hungover or something like that, you could do something about, you know. But basically, those are the things that really we look at as kind of warning signs for having that craniocervical junction out of its proper position.
Well, James, you know, we've talked to you before, and you know that there's a lot of people out there that they don't know what it feels like to feel good until they actually get this taken care of. I mean, people just think, okay, well, it's part of my life. I wake up with a headache. I deal with this. It's just how my life is at this point, and that doesn't have to be the case.
No, it definitely doesn't. You know, when I was working in the hospital as an RN, we'd have people come in all the time for using sleep for the example. You know, you wake up with a headache because you don't get proper drainage of the blood flow coming out of your brain. So that creates a headache there too. So a lot of people do a lot of different things to try to mitigate that. For sleeping, you know, they wear a CPAP at night, so they sound like Darth Vader, or they're tied to electricity to make their CPAP work. Or they do other things like mandibular advancement devices, where you're doing surgery, where they cut, you know, parts of your body out, like your tonsils, your adenoids, and all this stuff. Or they do Inspire devices, where they're moving your tongue out of the way so you're having surgery for all this stuff so you can breathe, and that's all part of the headaches. So just having something that's non-surgical is just crucial for a lot of people, that, you know, there's no negative side effects to what we do, and that's all case or peer-reviewed in all the medical documents that are out there.
Well, right now you can take advantage of a free complimentary assessment. Call 801-877-1199. That's 801-877-1199. And for more information, Check out theliftclinic.com. Craig Bullerjack joins us next, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.